It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some people adopt a dog through their local shelter. Others turn to commercial breeders that operate in Wisconsin and around the country.
But how do you know if the breeder is following the law and caring for their animals in an ethical way?
An Iowa-based advocacy group called Bailing Out Benji recently published its quarterly review of violations at dog and cat breeders nationwide. According to the report, federal inspectors cited 10 Wisconsin dog breeders for regulatory violations during the second quarter of this year.
And earlier this year, the Humane Society of the United States published its annual report called The Horrible 100. That report looks into the state and federal violations by breeders. 10 Wisconsin facilities were also on that list.
Kathleen Summers is director of outreach and research for the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. She works on the Horrible 100 annual report that aims to raise awareness about problematic dog breeding facilities nationwide. Kathleen, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
You use the term puppy mill. What does the Humane Society consider to be a puppy mill versus a reputable dog breeder?
Well, a reputable dog breeder will pay careful attention to the health and welfare of their breeding dogs, as well as their puppies. They breed very sparingly, and they usually keep the dogs in the home with them as you would keep your pet, with, you know, a lot of attention and quality care. Whereas a puppy mill is a large-scale commercial breeder where the dogs are usually kept in very cramped conditions, and they're bred solely to pump out puppies for the pet trade with very little care or concern for their well-being.
So really the number of puppies, the number of dogs can be a red flag, can be an indication that there certain conditions wouldn't be met if there are dozens upon dozens of puppies at a commercial facility?
That's right. We find that the larger this facility, the harder it is for the owners to keep up, even if they do have some employees. I'm sure you would understand if you have dogs at home, sometimes even two or three dogs seems like a lot. So a facility with dozens or even hundreds of dogs can be very detrimental to the animals. There just usually isn't enough space or enough personal attention for the animals to keep them happy and healthy.
To keep animals happy and healthy at these facilities, there are standards in place. There is the Animal Welfare Act. Can you talk a little bit about what are the various standards for dog sellers in the country and here in Wisconsin?
Sure. Well, the national law is called the Animal Welfare Act. It's upheld by the United States Department of Agriculture, and they do have basic rules on the amount of space each dog needs, the amount of food, and they do require that they get annual medical exams and that they have protection from the weather, this type of thing. But their rules are very basic. They're basic survival standards. But in addition, USDA only inspects breeders who sell wholesale. So that would be breeders who sell to middleman brokers, to pet stores, or online sight unseen to people who don't meet the animal before they buy them. Whereas Wisconsin and some numerous other states also have commercial kennel laws. And those laws usually also include breeders in the state who sell directly to the public.
Are breeders and brokers still in the business of selling to pet stores? I thought that was coming to an end.
So far, 8 states and more than 450 localities across the country have passed laws and ordinances to end the sale of puppies in pet stores, which encourages people to go to more humane places to buy puppies. But many states still allow it. We certainly don't recommend it because it doesn't give the buyer the opportunity to see the puppy before purchase.
Now, turning to the report that you work on, Wisconsin having 10 breeders with outstanding violations listed on your annual report called the Horrible 100. Can you talk about how do Wisconsin breeding violations compare to other states?
Well, this year we had, as you mentioned, 10 Wisconsin breeders in the Horrible 100 report. So that was 10% of the entire report. And in fact, it's more Wisconsin breeders than we've ever had in the report before. And another reason this is very concerning is we received no records from the state of Wisconsin this year. So we only had USDA records to go on. In other words, people who sell to pet stores. So it's very concerning that the Department of Agriculture in Wisconsin did not send us any records. They did charge us almost $400 for the records that we requested back in February. And those records still have not arrived. So we don't know what Wisconsin's Department of Agriculture, Trade and Consumer Protection is doing as far as upholding or enforcing its law.
And so state inspectors would then go to these facilities, as would federal inspectors through the USDA. Do you know how that type of inspection works on the state and federal level?
Right. So usually at the federal level, they're inspected about once a year. But again, the USDA does not inspect as many breeders as the state would, because they don't inspect breeders who sell just directly to the public. They only inspect the wholesale breeders. So there's many, many breeders who claim only to sell locally to the public, but have what Wisconsin requires, which is they sell more than 25 dogs a year. Those are the ones required to be licensed in the state. And those are the ones we have absolutely no information on, because the state did not fulfill our public records request.
There are also states that you don't need to have a license to breed dogs. What could be occurring in those types of states?
Unfortunately, those states are even worse. There are states like Arkansas, where we know there are many, many breeders, and only the USDA inspects there. And again, that would be only those breeders who sell wholesale. So breeders who claim to sell directly to the public in those states have no oversight whatsoever.
In looking at the maps, though, it seems like there is this cluster of licensed commercial dog breeders in the Midwest with violations. What do you see there as you look at the trends?
Well, it's very troubling, because we would hope that the numbers would be going down, of course, especially with the number of years we've been putting out this report and the number of new laws that are being passed. We are seeing very big improvements in some states, but unfortunately not in Wisconsin.
What are some states doing to improve animal welfare?
Well, the public transparency is very important. We are able to get records from states like Ohio and Missouri that are known for having a lot of puppy mills, but they also are upfront about showing their records and showing how often they're inspecting and how they are citing or dealing with breeders who are not responding to getting multiple citations. So often they will, for example, in some states, if the breeder is not in compliance and that requires the inspector to go out again and do another inspection, they'll charge the breeder for that inspection, because it's extra time that the state is wasting having to make sure okay. And of course, some states are actually shutting down some of their worst puppy mills and charging the breeders with animal cruelty. Hmm. If these things are not happening, there's really no incentive for the breeders to do well by their animals, because if they're getting citations and nobody sees them because the department isn't fulfilling public records requests and isn't fining or punishing bad breeders, then there's sort of a feeling among the breeding community that it doesn't really matter if they take good care of their dogs, as long as they can sell a lot of puppies and make a lot of money.
We're talking with Kathleen Summers, who is Director of Outreach and Research for the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States, talking about the Humane Society's 2024 report of dog breeders with inspection violations. It's called The Horrible 100. Kathleen, you've been working on this report over 10 years now. Are there particular trends that emerge over time? Is it the same breeding facilities being coming up with violations over the years, or new breeders as well?
Well, there's definitely new breeders in the report every year. Every year we do note in the report if a breeder has been in the report before and how many times they've been in the report. So there's good news and bad news. We're definitely seeing every year that some of the worst breeders are being shut down. They are being fined and sometimes even sent to jail sometimes for the poor treatment of the animals. But we're also seeing that there's some breeders who are licensed by the USDA who have been in our report 6, 7, or 8 times, and they're still operating with only minor penalties. And usually in that case, it's because they were inspected so many times that they, you know, finally cleaned up enough to pass one inspection. And then the USDA says, well, you passed an inspection, so now we're going to back off a little. But we often see those same breeders will, after they've had some time, they'll go back to the old ways.
Hmm. It makes me wonder about the marketplace that they're working in, the impact of supply and demand, the impact of the economics. Is dog breeding profitable?
Dog breeding, unfortunately, can be very profitable, especially with the advent of the internet. A lot of people are able to have very professional looking websites that show, you know, only what they want the public to see. And the public isn't really seeing what's behind those pretty pictures on the website.
And I would imagine vet care is costly. Food for the puppies also costly. Would that affect breeders as you look at the choices they would make and how they care for their dogs?
Yes. I mean, to be honest, a reputable, responsible breeder usually doesn't make much money because they're getting top quality veterinary care for their dogs. They're also screening their breeding dogs for health defects that are common in the breed before they choose to breed that dog. And of course, they are also breeding sparingly so that they can make sure to meet every buyer and make sure that that buyer is ready to give the best home possible to that dog. So unfortunately, the breeders who are making a lot of money are often the less ethical breeders who are just breeding as many dogs as possible to sell to the first bidder who steps forward.
Are there particular dog breeds that may be more susceptible to coming from a facility with a history of violations?
Well, puppy mills breed every kind of breed, but one thing we're seeing a lot of is the so-called designer dogs, which are mixed breed dogs. Usually there's a poodle or some type of non-shedding breed mixed in to make a labradoodle or a bernedoodle or a multi-poo. There's a lot of ways that puppy mills can exploit these dogs because they don't even have the very minimal requirement of filing paperwork with a dog registry. Often we find that the so-called doodle breeds that are being sold online, if you do a DNA test, it's often not even the type of dog that the seller claims it is.
Hmm. Kathleen, someone listening might say, I don't want to contribute to this problem. I don't want to contribute to this marketplace of this type of treatment. What would you tell prospective dog owners looking for a breeder to ensure that they are reputable and humane?
Right. Well, we would definitely encourage people to visit an animal shelter or a breed-specific rescue first and foremost. This year, the shelters are really overwhelmed with dogs, which is a very sad thing, but it does also mean that there's a greater variety of dogs in shelters than ever before. They have puppies, they have dogs of different breeds and different sizes, and that's a wonderful way to get a dog while also saving a life. But if a person does decide to go to a breeder because they're looking for a specific type of puppy, we do recommend that they go visit the breeder's home and make sure that they meet the parents of the dogs and make sure that those parents are looking happy and healthy and friendly and you know, if when they're happy to meet you, you know that that's a well-raised dog.
I wonder how breeding facilities around the country might affect the number of dogs that could be adopted through the shelter system.
It's definitely affecting the shelters. And in fact, now for the last 2 or 3 years, shelters have really been having more and more difficulties placing dogs. And less responsible breeders and the backyard breeders are definitely having an effect on that.
Can states put more protections in place? Or you talk about transparency. Are there regulations that could bring more transparency to this aspect of breeding dogs to be sold?
Definitely. There are some states, such as Pennsylvania, for example, who put their breeder inspection reports online for everybody to see. That way, a person thinking of buying a dog can go online and see if that person has any violations.
If a puppy has had a difficult beginning, a problematic breeding facility, could that impact that dog later in life as it becomes someone's companion?
It certainly could, because those early weeks of a puppy's life, especially right when they leave the mom and their siblings, that's a very formative period for them because they're learning proper socialization. And if they're spending those formative weeks in a pet store cage or, you know, on a broker truck being delivered somewhere, they're not getting that one-on-one care that they really need to develop well psychologically.
As you work on next year's report, what is that process like? As you reach out to states, you gather your data, you do the research. What does that entail?
Well, we get as many inspection reports as we can from the USDA, which also publishes their reports online, and from every state that inspects. And we compare and contrast. We often find, for example, that some states are citing breeders who the USDA is not citing. And that is something we'll sort of call out if we see that a breeder is getting a lot of state violations, but no USDA violations. That's an indication that USDA may not be doing a very good job of inspecting. And sometimes it's vice versa. Sometimes the USDA is giving someone a lot of citations and the state is not. So that can be sort of a very interesting comparison to see who's doing their due diligence. And we do note that in the report.
Kathleen, thank you so much for your time. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me on.
That is Kathleen Summers, who is Director of Outreach and Research for the Stop Puppy Mills campaign at the Humane Society of the United States. We talked with her about the Humane Society's 2024 report that aims to raise awareness about animal welfare violations and the conditions at breeding facilities. When reached out for comment about the Humane Society's request for state inspection reports, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection said they are still working on fulfilling the records request.